and we're I take in the us. We're in the cookout line, wasting all of our time. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. 'Cause it's just 2 a.m. and I just put my order in. Oh yeah, put my. And it was 10 cars deep. I probably need some sleep, but I'm sitting in the backseat of this off-white Jeep. I'm in the cookout line. I guess I'm doing just fine. Oh yeah.
All right, Pencil Talk Live, episode 13. We'd mentioned it before. If you can't tell, we're streaking. This is officially a college baseball podcast. We're digging our heels in until college baseball is obviously over this spring. What a better guy to bring on, though, than the All-American himself. He's the All-American man. He's our All-American. Got to play with this guy his freshman year at Charleston Southern. He's gone on and done much bigger and better things. It's the All-American, Max Ryerson. Max, thanks for joining us, buddy.
Yeah, no, I'm stoked to come on. Thanks for bringing me on.
Heck yeah. You know, we joked about it. The last time we saw Max, he took a little bit of roundabout. He was at Charleston Southern his freshman year where he put up absolute video game numbers, hit over 300, 10-plus jimmies, but haven't seen him since then. And since he left Charleston Southern, he's done nothing but the same video game numbers year in and year out. You're at Georgia State now, coming off an incredible season. Appreciate you taking some time out for the pod, man.
Yeah, man, I'm stoked to hang out with you, bro, and have a good time. So I'm just happy to catch up.
Heck yeah. All right, so we're going to set it up. So obviously this guy, you know, Golden Spikes is within reach this year. Never a doubt. He's going to wear golden cleats because we're going to make him a pair of pencil cleats. I'm not sure if we can do that, but it might be an empty promise. But we're going to grill you with some questions. My first one for you, though, are you still shredding the gnar? I know there's not a lot of waves in Atlanta. I know that you crushed on the water here in Charleston, but are we still surfing a good bit?
Dude, it's a bummer, man. So after I left JUCO in Panama City, it just there's nothing to go out here, man. And I tried picking up the skateboard a little bit, and I just face planted a few times. And that was it. So I'm going to have to wait till I can go back further south for that again.
I like it.
JUCO in Panama City. You got to tell me what that was like, man. That was probably a time.
It was fantastic. Not only that, but I had like the absolute JUCO coach. Like he was a 75-year-old who had stage 4 lung cancer, and it would just let me know about it all the time. So like if you ever met up, it was a time, dude. And we had like beach houses, and it was an unbelievable place to go to a JUCO.
That's tough, man.
Yeah.
Take a ground ball off the chin, start talking about it. He's like, how about coughing up blood? Huh? What's that? Yeah. Huh?
Funny to say that I got hit in the face and I went down and he was screaming at me to get up. I had to get probably 10 stitches in my face, and all he could talk to me about was like all of his experiences, like as I'm like gushing blood. And yeah, love the guy.
Oh man, I love that. Made you who you are.
Oh yeah, it was a good time.
All right, Max, I got one for you. Just kind of about your journey that led you to Georgia State. You've got kind of an interesting career, and in really every place that you've gone, you've succeeded, right? I think I remember correctly, you were committed to College of Charleston as a two-way out of high school. You ended up at Charleston Southern, where you really mostly focused on hitting. You go the JUCO route. Now you end up in finding a really awesome home at Atlanta. Do you consider yourself a JUCO bandit? Like, have you kind of absorbed wisdom and knowledge from each, you know, landing spot that have gotten you to the success that you've experienced today?
I wouldn't really consider myself. I guess I'm a JUCO bandit, but I don't know, man. I've just been I've just been kind of riding the wave a little bit and just having fun with it. Actually, I called Charleston. I was going in as a PO only.
Oh.
Southern is a similar thing, but I don't know if you remember, but I said I was going to make a pitch real nasty.
I did.
And it was in my first bullpen, and it was the first curveball. I thought it was pretty good. And the next one, I look at the pitching coach, I'm going to make this one real nasty. I toss it. UCL's gone. So that's how I started hitting. And
this was at Charleston Southern that happened?
Yeah, it was my first bullpen. And, of course, it was the best freshman moment you could possibly have. I made it so nasty, my freaking UCL couldn't even take it.
And so, wait, just pause for a second. And so you're saying Charleston Southern recruited you to be a PO?
I believe it was pitcher mostly, and then hitter as a backup. And College of Charleston was straight as a PO.
Tell me that's not the most Charleston Southern thing ever. As we have an All-American hitter that are recruiting as a PO. Like, I mean, what are we doing?
I will say, Max, it's been so long that I was praying that that was the story, how I remembered it correctly. But I was, yeah, he did. He looked right back. Wait, it was right at Schaaf, our pitching coach at the time, was the man. I'm going to make it nasty. And popped it right there.
Yeah. Yep. And that was the end of pitching. That was it.
It's the most fortunate injury ever, because the kid went on a tear that year.
Yeah, no, yeah,
it's a lucky injury, I have to say, because I think, I don't know if I would have hit.
No, they probably wouldn't have let you hit.
No. No, but to answer your question, no, I've just been really enjoying the journey. And, you know, every step has been, I mean, I loved Charleston Southern. I loved Gulf Coast. I love where I'm at now. You know, every part of the journey has just been really good to me.
All right, I got to hear, what was your most favorite and least favorite thing about playing Charleston Southern baseball? Or just about Charleston Southern in general?
Just about Charleston Southern in general?
Whatever you want to go to.
Oh, man. My number one favorite thing had to be the guys. You know, as a freshman, I loved the guys coming in. They're like, you know, there's a lot of guys. That, like, Josh Litchfield was a great guy, I always remember. You know, just a – I mean, all those guys, especially as a freshman coming in, are just great guys to meet and kind of get you to know the game. And, you know, Jarrett Bennett's still the funniest, one of the funniest guys I've met.
That's
the best part for memory for me. And I have lifelong friends coming out of Charleston Southern.
All right. So we have two people on this podcast officially who have struggled with the yips in their college career. So please tell me what that's like. And part two of this question, are you ever even just a slight bit concerned that it'll creep back on you?
So for me with the yips, I think it was my freshman fall when I was hitting. I think I just forgot how to hit. I think I went like over 30 with like 28 Ks.
All right. So
what happens?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's coming back. I think it was just being a freshman, that kind of stuff. But if you call my like outfield play the yips, I don't really consider it the yips. I just think I have trouble catching a fly ball.
I think that's a fair point, because for a time in my career, I thought I had the fly ball yips, but there comes a point where you have to understand that you don't. You're just not very good, and that's something that I had to go through. So I understand what that's like. I understand what that's like. But I would still assume you're probably a little bit better defender than myself, but I can relate.
No, I understand what you mean. It's a little spooky when it's like the ball's coming at you, I have to say.
Yeah. It definitely – stadium definitely counts a bit. Charleston Southern was tough with the nighttime fly balls above the lights. Those things were just pointed right down. That was I can understand that.
Yep, they were about there for sure.
And the wind just funneling out to right nonstop, which was great as a hitter, but as an outfielder, it was deadly, man. Deadly.
Yep, that's still the biggest launch pad I've ever seen in college baseball.
Yeah, how many home runs did you hit your freshman year, dude?
Nine. I hit nine.
A lot of home runs for a freshman year.
Yeah. Well, I remember my swing back then, too. I was like a – like my leg would just hang in the air the entire
time. So that was I think German Josh, because you like you mentioned, you struggled a bit in the fall, but that Blue Gold World Series, you were like, you kept calling it the Karate Kid. Do you remember that? You kept calling it the Karate Kid, and he was like, all right, man, I can't be late if I start my load before they pitch it. And we're like, dude, that logic makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Bro, my man would get up, pitcher still in the delivery, and he would sit in the box like this. And he would wait. And he would seriously wait until they threw the ball, and he'd get his foot down 10 minutes early, and he fucking hit nukes.
I mean, like,
dude, it was
sometimes where the guy wouldn't even be on the rubber and my leg would be up. I'd just be ready to roll.
I have to see video of that. I've never seen anything like that. It's almost like Jason Miller, but a little bit different.
Yeah.
Dude, if you can figure out a way to make that work. I mean, it's all relative to the person, right?
I feel like you just have to tell yourself that you know what you're doing, and then it happens. Like, even if you look like a complete idiot, Max was like, this is the way to hit the ball. And then it works. It works.
Confidence, man. Yeah.
No, it goes a long way. Baseball's all confidence. That's all it is.
Yeah.
That was my favorite, like, come to Jesus moment playing college baseball. Like, you're trying to absorb as much knowledge as possible, but like, everyone's a snowflake. Like, not one recipe is going to work for everybody. But when you talk to really great hitters, right? Like what is it when you get in the box? Like, what's the approach? What's the mentality? That's always a fun question. But I remember asking you this, like, I was a senior on that team and like had some struggles at the plate. And I remember going to Max and be like, hey, yo, what do you think about up there? And what do you remember your answer, Max? Like, what, like, going into the season, like, when you get in the box, what do you think about?
I'm guessing it's pretty similar to what I think about now. And that's just what I eat after the game or.
He goes, you said, not shit. Am I supposed to be? And I was like, nope, that's
absolutely not.
Yeah, absolutely not. Just go play.
One thing. All right. On top of that, what is the best thing to think about, like, while you're in the box post game meal wise? Like, what are you absolutely craving?
Oof. It's got to be like a Chipotle platter, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter if you're 0 for 4 or 4 for 4. That's a win for the day.
That's nice. You're
on top. Yeah. Yep.
I could see myself hitting the backside. Not really. I couldn't see myself hitting the backside bump. I could see myself hitting one in the gap thinking about a nice burrito, though. I'm a burrito guy myself, but man.
Totally. Yeah.
All right. Out of curiosity, so it's senior year. Let's say junior year repeats itself. Statistic wise.
Yep.
What does that mean for you? What are you looking to do? What's your ultimate goal out of all this?
Honestly, man, it's pretty much just been the same goal ever since I started playing baseball. I just trying to have some fun. I mean, we're a whole bunch of grown men wearing costumes. Might as well have some fun while doing it. You know, if I get, you know, whatever happens, you know, I think I'm probably going to hit well, but whatever, man. Have fun playing with the guys and, you know, hopefully I can find a snake like, remember Eddie Hyatt used to do and throw it in the back pocket.
If I had time and wrote down an answer, I couldn't have wrote a better one.
That's so great. Max, I bet you don't even know this. We're trying to develop multiple shticks in all of this. But again, it's just like to obviously have fun. We're trying to develop a costume rating, like best costumes in sports, and you literally just hit the nail on the head for us. How would you rank the Georgia State costumes out of 10?
We got some new blue pants that I got to say, I think are bringing down the grading.
Wow.
Yeah. Overall, I would give it a solid 8. It's a strong 8. Yeah, I like it.
Are they like men's softball type blue pants? Is that the vibe that you're feeling? Are they trying to go for the Ole Miss baby blue? What's the deal?
I feel like I should be going to a yoga class. Yeah. But with it all together with some dirt, it might look good. So maybe I'm putting it down too quick.
Do you guys still wear the pinstripes?
Yeah, we still rock the pins. It's a good look.
Pinstripes are a good look. All right. Yeah. Where do you think you rank who in the Sun Belt Conference? Who do you think has the best costumes?
Oh, it's not close. Texas State.
Oh,
not close.
Really?
Yeah,
I can see that.
Oh yeah, no, I've heard their facilities are just gorgeous. No, they're right now they're on top.
Y'all get to Texas State this year, don't you?
Yeah, we do. So that should be pretty darn cool.
That'll be a fun one.
What about Coastal? Coastal has great costumes.
What's up?
Coastal has great costumes.
Oh, that's top notch. Yeah, that's top notch. But still taking the Texas State. Also, they were nasty last year too, so that gives them some. So, but all their guys were like 27 years old.
Yeah.
How are the boys feeling rolling into senior year? I mean, coming off a big year, you guys absolutely raked. Probably one of the most potent offensive lineups we saw in college baseball last year. You guys feeling pretty good going into opening weekend next week?
I think we're going to be really solid, man. I mean, we got like our leadoff guy is going to be Cam Jones, who actually led the tape in batting average. The guy is just like a flat out hitter. You know, he's just going to flick balls to the right side. I mean, low balling, he's going to bat 380. You know, that's last year he batted like 376. I mean, he's just that type of hitter. And then we got another guy, Luke Boynton, who can just hit a ball. Like, he's 6'6", 260, like just a mammoth of a man. So he's going to pop at least 18 homers. So it should be a pretty dynamic lineup. But you know how it is. So we'll see how it goes into the season.
That's actually crazy. You hit what, 335 last year and were the third best on the team. Not as like a, but like you guys got an absolute squad. Like,
yeah, it's a whole bunch of boppers, man. I mean, we lost Griffin Chaney, who was our shortstop, about I think like 360 something with like 16. So he was a big loss, but he's playing with the Rangers now. But we just picked up a big guy from USF, a new shortstop, and I would have to guess that he's going to probably hit pretty close to that. So,
wow.
Yeah. Right now, it's pretty good.
One thing I want to start, legally in the state of when I go visit Cole, and maybe in the state of New Jersey, is placing bets on stolen bags this year. And mm-hmm. So I'm curious, I believe I saw 1-for-1 last year.
Let me keep the ball. Still a little mad about it. I asked for it on second, but they thought I was joking. sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
What was that steal? What was that steal like? I mean, what was going through your head in that time?
Oh, man. I mean, it was better than every single home run I hit last year. I mean, it was.
There was a lot of those.
About it before I go to sleep every night.
I can't believe they wouldn't give you the ball. That sucks.
It was ridiculous. It was the last game of the year of the regular season, and coach didn't give me the steal sign. I just took off because I wanted it. I saw it. I went and grabbed it. You know, so I'm going to hit 40 this year, 40 bags, but we'll see. We'll start at 1.
40 is a good goal. Yeah, one at a time, but 40 is a good goal.
Yeah, 40, you know, yeah. Maybe 100.
It's really difficult to steal bags when all you do is hit homers. Like, the guy doesn't hit singles. Like,
he's just jogging. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my problem's tripping over my foot, too. That's also an issue.
I literally had written down on my list of questions, one career stolen base. What the fuck's going on there?
I mean, Jack, I'll tell you about that one.
Sorry, bro. No, we're going for 40, though.
Yeah, 40, 40 or bust. 40 or bust for sure.
But you are on 100% record right now. It's like you are clean. You can walk into the bigs next year saying I was 100% on bags, and they may give you the steal sign way more often because they may not check the numbers.
I think I'm just gonna save them for the big leagues. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm saving them all.
Love that.
Yeah,
smart.
I saved all my good swings for beer league softball. So,
good.
It's
good.
About to pay off.
Oh, yeah.
Pay off, baby. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know how it is.
Yep.
You know how it is.
Oh, that's good. No, dude, one thing I did, I was digging through stats because I honestly got kind of lost in your 2022 season. That was absurd. But then I saw 2020, you had 6 home runs, but 29 RBIs in 24 games.
So that was an interesting season because I actually started out that season. It was either 0-for-22 or 0-for-24.
That's brutal.
It was something crazy. And then, I don't know. I just figured it out. But, that was a weird season. It wasn't a fun one, I have to say, because the beginning was horrendous.
Yeah, that's tough. But ending out being good for a run over a run a game, I mean, pretty solid.
Yeah, no, it was good in the end. But I'll never forget it. The first game we played that year was against Faulkner JV, the NAIA JV team, and they pulled out a left-handed knuckleballer, and that guy ate my lunch. And that started out the 0-for-20 whatever streak. You know, so I'll never forget that one.
You can understand that. I'll never face that. That would be rough.
It's impossible to hit. It's a big.
Max, I got a question for you. Looking ahead, I mean, you got some pretty big names on the schedule this year. You got a pretty cool schedule, traveling in a bunch of cool places. But the most interesting to me is second weekend of the year, you guys are facing Brown, Ivy League school. Going into that, is it like, do you prepare a little differently knowing you're playing against a bunch of nerds?
There's a lot of, so right now it's one of those things where you don't want to take them too lightly, you know, and I also have the fear too, that I'm going to be the first, woman's collegiate strikeout. So that worries me a little bit too. Cause that's the one where the girls on the team.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Bad day to have a slump.
That's what I'm thinking, you know, cause that would be posted everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, probably by Pencil Talk.
Absolutely. But no, we played, what was it, Purdue Fort Wayne last year. And so it's kind of a similar thing. You kind of just lower the machine down to a good velocity and that kind of stuff. But it can dome you up for sure.
Hey, we love lowering down the machine. The machine's hard enough to hit to begin with. All right.
Yeah, I would always sneak behind and turn down the machine and then be like, yo, coach, smack me. Sorry, Max. We're normally a lot more professional.
Yeah, this is rare. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I mean, this is ridiculous, guys. I mean, come on.
And I was upset to hear that our production team couldn't make it out to you and you had to film on your iPhone normally, because we have cameras here.
Our production lead is on paternity leave, so we were a little short a guy. We couldn't fly a guy out to you. We usually fly a guy out to you, as Josh would say, but next time.
Did you emphasize, though, that he's on paternity leave? Because anyone who's with Pencil Talk Pod be fucking.
Well, yeah. Well, one, you can't join the pod unless you are at a certain level of fertility, one. Yeah. And then two, we're an equal opportunity employer. You know, we give everybody a chance to enjoy their life and be there in the times that they need to be. So
I was going to say, benefits package is through the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got a question for you guys. Are you guys going to do any like John Boy breakdowns? Because I feel like you guys would be fantastic at that.
Yeah, you know, I think –
Breaking down like weird scenarios and you guys just riffing off each other.
Yeah, I think as we get into college baseball, we'll start to find our voice. But I think what we offer to the table, and I think you can kind of agree, is that we can give a true, honest reaction to what the guys in the dugout are feeling. Like it's a midweek and a guy hits a walk-off and everyone's stoked because like, yo, Max Ryerson's my guy. Like I'm a big Max Ryerson fan. We get to like celebrate Max hitting a walk-off homer, but in reality everyone's so excited because they get the fuck home. That's why they're really happy. So I think we can kind of give a real voice to what everyone's actually thinking on and off field and shed light to kind of, I think, college baseball as a whole, because it's so fun, right? Like, you know, we talked about it with East Carolina. Was a perfect example. Like last year, ESPN went nuts during that super regional they played against Texas. When in reality, there are ballparks like East Carolina looks like that every weekend. It's a zoo. You know, there's some really cool places. So we've talked about doing our own pseudo like college game day type deal. Like we'll get a couple of us down to Georgia State and we'll tailgate and go bonkers and kind of start to tell the story of the behind the scenes of college baseball. But I like your idea. That's spot on, dude.
No, I think that's brilliant, man, because there's nothing like that. And they don't understand, like, you know, the ins and outs of college baseball. And be really cool for kids to kind of figure out what it actually is. So that's a really good idea. Yeah, I love that.
Off of that, give me your favorite thing about college baseball that you've experienced off the field. Like, what's something about college baseball and the culture of college baseball that you think is second to none that has nothing to do with actually being on the field?
Oh man. I mean, right off the bat, I mean, I guess this does have to do with baseball, but the weight room, I mean, you just never get that energy after, you know, playing like a college sport. I mean, the energy you get in a weight room and there's just nothing like it. So that's one thing that I'll genuinely miss. But I'd probably say the biggest one is just like hanging out in the locker room and just stuff like that. Just goofing off, playing ping pong in the locker room or whatever you're doing. We have like a whole bunch of stupid games that we play with like pool and just that stuff. I mean, I think that would be the biggest thing you miss. So.
Yeah. No, that's great. And just pause. Did you say you have pool in the locker room at Georgia State?
So we got pool, two ping pong tables, a foosball table, an airsoft or air whatever. I forget what the name is. And a spike ball thing. It's electric.
Man.
Yeah. Man.
We had some of those things, right?
Yeah, no wonder you guys are all hitting 600 down there. Jeez.
You're lighter on your feet, man. I was stressed.
Yeah.
I had nothing to do but wrestle people.
Yeah.
We had Twister in a Charleston Southern locker room.
I did that, yeah, with some baby oil.
I can neither confirm or deny that, but I do remember there being a board and there may have been lubricant. I don't remember that well.
That was after I left for sure.
And I do remember me being a terrified freshman that I would have to wrestle Alex.
They made you wrestle Alex Andronico?
Dude, ooh. He absolutely tossed me.
That was a grown man. That's plain and simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, to this day, I mean, shout out, Andrew. I've never seen him lose. He's beat everybody that he's ever played against.
I'll never forget. He was at, I think it was like an inner squad or Jack. Was it a game when he came in and maybe had a couple too many drinks the night before and maybe died to play and nailed him straight in the face?
He may have partaken a couple of beverages before. Yeah, I remember that pretty good.
Got right up like nothing, just hit him. I mean, it was like a hammered ball right out. Just head first, nails him straight in the head, gets right up. It's totally fun. He's having a good time. Yeah.
To give context to people who might not know who Alex Andronic is, he's a guy that we played with who should have been a UFC fighter, but he dressed up in baseball costumes, as Max would say. And he was a guy during warmups who would catch fly balls with his bare hand. He would shag fly balls, which is by far the best part about baseball, by the way, and with just no glove. And he would just barehand it. He would chest it. He's a psychopath. I mean, that was malpractice that we may or may not have made people wrestle him.
The hardest I've ever my entire life, in my whole life, was Alex Andronico saying bye to me after a party, saying goodbye, and he headbutted me as hard as he could to say goodbye. The guy is an app. And then I saw him do it to two other people while I was still like seeing stars, like I was cross-eyed for like 5 minutes. That kid is psychotic, but I love him.
That's the same kid who in the winter used to swim laps in the outdoor pool to toughen his mind. I mean, that's the kind of guy you're dealing with here.
Different breed.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this. We are talking to a different breed. I mean, this is a guy who said that he's going to miss a college weight room when he gets done playing baseball. This is a guy that hits 30 home runs a year, but he's going to miss the weight room. I mean, there's a reason that you look like an Adonis, dude.
Wow.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, no, it's what I love doing. It's the most fun part. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, also at Georgia State, they actually let you lift weight. Like I remember at Charleston Southern, all we did was like 100-yard lunges.
We did a lot of breathing exercises when I was there.
You had what?
We did a lot of breathing exercises when I was there. Like I'm dead. So do you remember that? BG had us on the ground breathing like through our back. Oh man, I remember that.
Breathe through your eyelids.
Yeah. It's crazy. Sorry.
I ain't no geologist.
I do remember that. Yeah, I will say though, you have been dedicated towards your body. Like I remember even freshman year, like you used to weigh your food, and I mean I felt like especially at that time you were dedicated to the body. I think long before like the kind of internet fad that it's become almost. Have you been doing that your entire life, or instilled by family, or is it just something you've always loved?
It was just something I was super into, especially like senior year of high school. I just started to get into weight training. And I was a little kooky my freshman year just because I would like fast for like the entire weekend and we'd be playing. Like I just wouldn't eat. I don't know what that was about. I just felt like I was better that way. Like, I don't know. I read some studies that like you're optimal because like these hunters did it. So I just wouldn't eat for like 5 days.
I love that. Starving for the next prey that you're gonna hunt down. Well, like
I wanted to play hungry. I don't think it correlates, like, because I eat now. I eat before a game, but
right. Well, what's your if you don't eat before a game? I'm just curious to hear what's your opinion on stretching.
Oh, I'm a bad guy to ask. I actually don't stretch.
Yeah. I could have guessed that one. I mean, but in my personal opinion, have you ever seen a cheetah stretch before it catches a gazelle?
Oh, not one time.
Not one time.
No, they don't do it. It's pointless.
So, you know.
Yeah.
There's my point.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm just still love it. I'm still super into it. I'm more into the weight room stuff now than like nutrition. I just kind of eat what I really want, make good meals and have a good time with it.
I love that, man.
They're not down your back over there about what you eat and all that good stuff?
I mean, honestly, not really. I mean, they feed us really well. So like before a game, like we'll get a meal, and then after we have like our BP, then we'll have another meal, and then we'll have a pre-game meal, and then we have an after-game meal, and they're all just like really good stuff, and they have really good spreads. So they take care of us really well, and that's probably the main focus that they put on it.
Yeah. Good food will keep your mind clear at the plate, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And Gatorade in the dugout. That's the key.
That's big.
Yeah.
We did. I will say, we talk crap about Charleston Southern, but they make some good Gatorade in the dugout. I will say that. I mean, my man was heavy on the powder, and I never complained.
No, there was a lot of good things to say about Charleston Southern. I mean, the tropical smoothie after the games are always fantastic.
Oh, talk about looking forward to something after the game.
That was definitely a later year Charleston Southern edition, because our freshman sophomore year we were shoving PB&Js down our throat after.
Out of the weight room, and somebody just stuck their entire hand in the peanut butter.
The luckiest person was the guy who got the peanut butter that didn't have the mold on top of it.
Back in JUCO, our coach used to say only winners eat. So it depend on if we won with got fed or not. We like kings.
Dude, this JUCO coach sounds like a walking one-liner. Like, I would love to spend a day and like quote like a lot of his one-liners and then like hallmark them, put them on like a postcard and like send them to people. I love that one.
So we actually made a book of quotes by him. So I'll send that to you after the podcast.
I would love that.
It's a good list. It's a good look at. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So here's what we're going to do. A book of quotes from your junior college coach. We can mix in some Charleston Southern ones, but every time that you do something like, you know, obviously incredible at school, by the way, we do need to preface this. This is going to be a baseball podcast. That's a lot of journalism aspiring to be like broadcasters, play by play, all that stuff. We're going to be completely biased. Every time you step foot onto a field, we're going to make sure that people know that the next Mickey Mantle is playing down in Atlanta. Yep. So every time you do something, we'll take one of the quotes, we'll quote tweet it or whatever. We'll send it out alongside of, you know, your highlights for the night. It'll be good.
I'm all in. That's it.
Hell yeah. I will say, what do you think it takes to say we get into some televised games here later in the season and you get up to the bat with a Dixon Ticonderoga number 2 in your back pocket?
Wait, what?
A pencil. You put a pencil in your back pocket
when you
go up to bat and hit a bomb. We're famous.
I'm all in.
Wait, right. I actually have potentially – this is an unbelievable idea, Josh. Max, why don't we workshop this together? How about a double celebration? We'll send down, you'll be our first NIL pencil talk athlete.
Okay.
What we lack in money, we gain in pencils. Cole is as good as it gets. He's got, I think, close to 100 pencils in his house right now. We'll send them down your way. How much?
It was a box of 500. I would assume I lost 25 by now. So I probably have 475. And they got your name written all over them.
All right, so Max, we'll send them down. You throw them in your back pocket. You hit a double. You take the helmet off. You take the pencil and you smash it over your head.
I'm all in.
That would be awesome.
I'm all in on that one.
I love it.
Wait, can we, and we'll work something out behind the scenes. Can we make Max Ryerson officially the first pencil talk athlete? Can that happen right now?
I think personally, I mean, official wise, I think we need to LLC up first. And then as soon as we do that, we can absolutely make that happen. Because otherwise, I mean, just otherwise, it's nothing. But I love where we're going. I love where we're going.
Yeah, no, I'm all in on this. I'm all in.
Yeah.
We have nobody else we'd rather be number one.
No, and also I want you to understand the like what we can do for you. Like, you'll never need another pencil again.
No, yeah. That's a big deal. That's a big deal.
Right.
Yeah. Right. No. Whole bunch of cold, hard pencils.
Yeah. That's exactly
That's the key. You need to have quick access to a pencil sharpener, because here at Pencil Talk, we don't do mechanical pencils. All right. That's we do the good old fashioned acoustic pencil. All right. So if you have access to a pencil sharpener, you will stay sharp for the rest of your life.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. Men of tradition.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm going to make a pair of, I've got a pair of royal blue batting gloves. We'll throw a pencil on there. We'll send them down to the boy. I don't know if he's allowed to wear them, but I think this could be big time. There's nothing like a first true love, Max. And if being our first true athlete, this is going to be pretty groundbreaking stuff, I think.
I mean, I'd be over the moon to be the first one. I mean, that's amazing to me.
I'm just getting to know Max, but I'm thinking not allowed to wear is not really a problem. I'm thinking that's gonna be perfectly fine.
So going off that is Jack, you remember that time where I lost every single hat my freshman year? And the punishment was had me wear a helmet. And I started, and during the BP I started smashing the balls off my helmet. And Georgia Southern's like pulling up. And I'm in the outfield just hammering balls off the top of my helmet into the trees.
So there is a reason, obviously nothing to do with baseball athleticism, but Max and I were very similar. My senior, his freshman year, if there was a guy to forget a jersey, lose a hat, flirt with time a little bit, it was the two of us. The only difference was that he was really able to back it up that year. And I had not so much.
That's fair.
Yeah. I had a good time.
Dude, you ran around the outfield. He was shagging fly balls when they pulled up, and he was running around the outfield with his helmet on playing right field.
Oh, my gosh. Did they make you wear full uni to class?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a good day. That was really funny.
Yeah, I remember that one well. That's actually a really good tradition to have. I like that one.
It's a good memory. Do you guys have any Georgia State freshman like routine? Not freshman traditions, but you guys make them do anything? Freshman haircut or?
No, we don't really have anything. Oh, well, I guess we do have the karaoke, but I feel like that's everybody.
A little freshman bus karaoke. All right, yeah. Max Ryerson's on the bus. I'm making you sing a little karaoke on the bus ride home. What are you singing?
Oh my gosh, so many choices. I think I'm going My Girl, but I'm singing all the parts.
Different voices or the same tone?
I think I'd mix it up, you know, keep the boys on their toes.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that, dude. I can picture that in my head. That would be great.
Here's a story for those at home. You talk about fucking good and bad memories. I remember when we did freshman karaoke your freshman year, Max. And some would be like, man, how do you remember that? You must have an incredible memory. I remember it because we were on our way home from Radford. No, that was my junior year.
Longwood.
Okay, then never mind. It was my junior year. You hadn't gotten there yet. We did a freshman karaoke. Everyone was trying to raise spirits, long story short. And the reason they were trying to raise spirits is because Charleston Southern had just lost in unbelievably horrible fashion. They lost the game by 2 runs. And some dickhead who was getting like their second start of the year hit a ball up the top of the wall, 2-run double, mashed. He was 6 inches away from hitting a home run. And 6 inches is a lot, trust me. And he missed first base.
No.
First base, trotted into second. It's a 2-run double. Charleston Southern takes the lead. And they go back and review it. And the kid had run into the first baseman, missed first base. Walked into second, started celebrating. It was big time. That was me.
Wait.
It was me. Umpire said that I missed first. They had taken like a 40-minute rule break because they couldn't figure out if the runs counted because I was technically the third out of the inning because they went and touched first base. Runs came off the board, and then they did freshman karaoke on the way home to really rub it in, salt in the wounds. It was a bad day.
So what about you running into the first baseman? Does that not count as interference?
Dude, I think they just chalked it up to me being super uncoordinated and just missing the bag.
It could have been could have had something to do with what we may have done in the hotel room the night before?
No. No, I chalked that one up to just being kind of a loser. And that was two nights before. Trust me, I relived that day like it was – like it was yesterday. It was bad.
I find it hard. Like I, it's hard to picture you missing a bag as lanky and like stumbly as you are. You hit everything. I can't believe you didn't smack that thing. That sucks.
Yeah. You're not lying. Yeah. Trust me, Max won't be doing that when he's smashing pencils across his forehead this year for us. But it'll be sweet. Yeah.
They don't care if you don't touch them all on a home run. They really don't. As long as you touch
them. Let's hope I'm concussed by the end of the year by how many pencils are broken. That's sick.
He's so cool.
We could turn that into a tattoo. We could make it look cool.
That would be really cool. That'd be heck of an injury. Yeah.
I'm thinking something along the lines of like a teardrop, but instead like a little mini pencil.
Or just the eraser.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Remember when we offshoot into another company and we go grippers? And it was just like, oh man, the possibilities are endless.
100%.
And well,
Max, I know you guys have a weekend series with Clemson this year. You know, mentioned obviously don't ever overlook the Sun Belt, but that being a cool matchup, just because I think you and Germ have a super similar story in your time at Clemson. Obviously, last year, a season of highs, All-American season, 20-plus bombs, crazy RBIs, first team All-Sun Belt. But your experience at Clemson, I think, super similar to our boy Cole German. You guys want to explain?
Yeah, so I guess he had the similar experience of me, just that they have a hill in left field, and that was just eating me alive. I mean, absolutely just fighting with the ground. It especially hit me in BP because I actually thought I was DHing that game. But so I wasn't too worried about it after falling three times on the hill. But once I saw the lineup card, I started panicking a little bit. So I actually decided I was going to play on the hill the whole game. And that's what I proceeded to do to make sure that I did not trip on the hill.
See, that's where we differ. He's able to make an adjustment, and I just keep the same thing every time.
I love that. Well,
the one problem was my range at that point was about 10 feet off the hill. I even told my center fielder, I was like, you have to catch everything. That means diving over here. I'm not getting off this hill, man. So
if they hit it right to you, you would have been great.
Oh, I would look like a genius.
Right.
Yeah. No, I thought.
Let them hit a scraper over the wall, and you're already sitting right there.
Yeah,
you would have been brilliant. Yeah,
yeah. I saw the practice swing in the bot in the batter circle, and I knew it. You know, I was reading like a book.
That's great. That would have been awesome.
My favorite memory of that hill, obviously, back in the day, I had a tumble where I went back to try to catch a ball. Hill aside, I probably wouldn't have caught it. But I go back, I step as Max did as well. You take a step on the hill, you know, you're not looking for the hill. So you fall. I fell into the fence. I broke about every small bone in my spine and I couldn't breathe. And the trainer's about to run out to me and he's running out and the cameraman stops the trainer because he's zooming in on my lifeless face. And he says, "Hey, get out of my shot." So the trainer just heads back to the dugout because he doesn't want to mess up the camera. I have probably taken in the last 3 minutes one breath. Can't even use my lungs. But the trainer was in the way of the camera, so I had to fight through that on my own. So, hey, we'll roll the clip. We'll roll the clip for the people. But hey, if anybody ever gives you shit, Max, about that, I know you'll have a good career to back that up. But I think we're connected in that way. I always have your back on that. It's a tough hill, man. It's a tough hill.
It's dangerous. You know, it's lethal, man.
It is.
Lethal.
There are very few people on this planet who know what that fence tastes like. And Cole is one of them.
For me, it's a mixture of iron, both from the fence and the blood that was in my mouth. It's a mixture of that. But
did it turn into, was it a triple or a homer?
Best part is that I can't breathe. And you know, you'll see on the hill, there's like the padding of the fence, and there's like a 3-inch spot where it's just like chain link fence. Yeah. So I'm laying on the hill, half dead, like kind of panicking because I need to get the ball, right? And I look right to my right, and the ball is sitting right on the other side of the fence. And as soon as I saw that, I just like dead fished it. I was like, thank God. I don't have to get up and try to throw this in. I can just wallow in my pain and just get it over.
That's actually awesome. What's the luck of that?
Yeah. The best part, I think it was the guy's like third home run of the game. We lost by like 10. So that was the best part.
So that was the whole best part of the story. It was like the first inning. I'll never forget it. Our good buddy who we talked about earlier, Jarrett Bennett, is making his like first, I think it was his second career ever start. We're at Clemson. It's like the first inning. And this kid, Grayson Bird, stud lefty for Clemson, gets up. And obviously everyone in that lineup is super scared of Seth Beer, who's like, you know, the first rounder, Clemson's, you know, Hall of Famer, whatever. Grayson Bird gets up, hits a backside ball, Germ's chasing it, runs into the hill, bullshit hill, crashes into the fence, knocks the wind out of him. He can't breathe. The camera shot's locked in on him because the ball's sitting on the other side of the fence. It was hysterical. I actually remember Josh had sent us video of it. I'm pretty sure before Germ got back to his feet, which was like hysterical. But that kid, Grayson Bird, had gone on. Then his next at-bat hit a ball off the center field wall in center and then hit one down the pole side. He literally put on the most incredible hitting clinic I've ever seen in my life. And I'm pretty – and Jarrett, I think, only gave up 4 runs on all 3 solos, on all 3 homers. It was crazy shit.
Tough.
Yeah, that's –
you guys are just good at baseball.
Like that is tough, but I do vividly remember saying, holy crap, can't believe that happened. Rewind the TV, videotape. Snapchat to Germ, like immediately.
Well, I texted Emily, I texted my girlfriend after the game, and I said, like, hey, what's up? And her first answer is back, she was like, yes, like, I saw you fall. I'm like, that's fair. All right, that's fair.
But she didn't laugh. She's not that.
No, she had my back, of course. Right. She had my back when the trainer couldn't. Yeah.
She was pissed at that fence. Yeah.
I think she wanted to drive back up there and kick the shit out of it.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, man. Max, we always end these podcasts with like a end all be all question, a master debate question.
Okay.
If I gave you the opportunity of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather win the Golden Spikes Award this year or be the next Kelly Slater? What are you taking?
Oh, man. I think you got to go with the Kelly Slater, right? I mean, the one thing.
So much.
The one thing with the Kelly Slater, though, that I'm not huge about is that. You're in a life-threatening, like, some of those waves are just, like, unbelievably high that I don't think I'd ever want to – I'd be too scared.
Yeah, but you have the perfect mentality for it. Like, you're, like, truly one of the happiest, like, kindest people I've ever met in my life. Can't fake genuine. I think you in that wave, you would just look around and be like, this is awesome. Like, there would be no panic. Same with you in the box. Like, with, like, 3-2-2, like, 2 outs, bases loaded. You're like, hey, man. This would be pretty cool. Like that.
Yeah.
So I think you're spot on though. Kelly Slater is like a lifetime of greatness in a wave. But
if it was purely like the competitions that are usually, I think, like 10 to 15 feet, I'm all not only that, but with the Kelly Slater, you can surf, man, until you're like 85 years old. I mean, you can be like the old guy with the paddleboard, the coolest guy in the world.
I feel like injuries don't happen quite that often in surfing, although I don't follow it that closely. But there's also sharks. Gotta take that into the equation. No shark will eat you if you're getting the Golden Spikes. So, I mean, how do you factor that in?
I gotta say, I'm not spooked by the shark. So my girlfriend is actually like super into snorkeling. She's from South Florida. And she brought me snorkeling, and we'll just swim like right next to the sharks and that kind of stuff. And she loves them, and they're super chill. Like, I like them, good animals. So that wouldn't really tie into the equation, I think.
Okay, for me. Good to hear.
Max Ryerson confirmed, big shark guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to say though, after long consideration, I think I'm gonna have to go with the Kelly Slater.
All right.
Yeah.
For Germ, Josh and I, our big master debate is like, would you rather have the talent of Mike Trout or like the ability to like command a stage like a Luke Combs or something? Like, it's like rock star versus professional athlete. But I wanted to give it a little bit of a twist for you.
Yeah, no, I like the I think you gotta go rock star with that one too, right?
Yeah, you definitely do.
I feel like that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to play 165 games.
When was the last time you saw a rock star go down with an injury and not come back? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
John Lennon.
Oh, man.
Dude. I mean, Elvis, also pretty quiet. Well, we'll see him on the come up.
It's pretty quiet, man.
Oh, that was awesome.
Ice cream. Got a bad brain freeze.
Pretty quiet. That's good.
That's awesome.
No, in all honesty, though, I have thought about that scenario. And now that I'm more into golf, I don't know that you could. Like, if you were to say, like, Luke Combs or not Tiger Woods, because that's, like, different. But if you were to say Luke Combs, or if you were to say Chris Stapleton or Rory, I might pick Rory.
Yeah, I think so.
Like,
golf similar to surfing. You can do it the rest of your life.
Like the rest of your life. John Daly's still out there shooting 65, 64s. Like,
That's the biggest. It doesn't go away. Injuries are, I mean, they're never that terrible, I feel like. I mean, they could keep you out of the game, but I don't feel like it's anything, you know.
Yeah. Max, how about this one? Speaking of music, obviously you're one of the best costume guys in baseball. I mean, you wear a pair of pants better than anybody. Unreal. He's got the best ass in Atlanta, folks. What was the walk-up song last year? Are you going to repeat it because you had such a great year? What was it, and what are you thinking for this year?
Dude, so I'm actually going to run it back. I was feeling it. It's Voodoo Child, Jimi Hendrix.
Oh.
Our speakers aren't top-notch, so I think I'm just going to stick with it. I like the way it flowed. But, yeah, I was going to go with Man's World by James Brown. Yeah. I thought that would stick with, like, the horns and stuff, but I don't know. I think I'm going to stick with it.
I would say All American, you should probably do what you were doing.
Yeah. not to play, like, I agree with Jerm. I think All America, you should stick with the same song. But if you were to consider another song, I had a lot of luck with Goofy Goober Rock by SpongeBob.
Uh-huh.
I want to put that in your ear. If some time down the road, a slump comes down the road, whatever, hope it doesn't happen. But a slump buster could be Goofy Goober Rock. And I want to float that out there.
I'm definitely going to throw that one on the back burner. That one's sizzling. I like that.
That'll fire up a crowd, dude. I tell you what.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
SpongeBob yellow action on par with the pencil when he smashes it after doubles, big time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Back in one more time back in JUCO, we had walk back songs. So because we didn't need a walk up song to get you in the mood. So if you struck out, you actually had a walk back song.
Our songs would be playing all day.
Yeah. So.
Dude, I'd have a whole playlist, dude. I have different songs for each kid.
It started the game enjoyable, honestly. It's kind of, we're excited to strike out.
Awesome. Walk back song. I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
Good. Great.
All right, boys. Are we feeling it? Anybody got anything else? Max, you got any questions for us? Reverse the interview process?
Oh, man.
You had a good question earlier.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with a serious one here. You got $1 billion, okay? Okay. All right. You have 24 hours, okay, to hide from the greatest assassin in the world. Okay, you have to hide from them for 24 hours. You got 1 hour to set up. You can either take the billion or can just keep living the way you want to do it. Are you taking the risk?
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, before the hour starts, you start right next to them. And then you got an hour to go hide or do whatever you want to do. Right. And then he's hunting you down. If he finds you within that 24 hours, you're done.
Yeah, no, I'm taking that.
Can we use the billion to help us hide? Or is that only a prize?
That's a prize. Yep.
Okay. That's different. All right. Okay.
I mean, how long you said? How long?
You got an hour to set up, whatever you want to do. And then right hour. What's up?
We have to stay alive for 24 hours. Is that what it was?
Yeah, just 24 hours. You got to stay alive.
Okay. I think I have that. And I think it's a more simple solution than you think, in all honesty. I think what you do is two options. You have two options. No, this isn't, Jack, I see you laughing. This is dead serious. I feel like assassins are after me. So I think about this. So one option is you spend every single dollar you have and you either rent or purchase. It doesn't matter about paper trail. The guy's going to find you anyway. So you rent or buy the fastest car or boat you have. Sorry, probably car, and you just go, and you just keep driving, and you can stay awake for 24 hours, but you just keep driving as fast as you can. You have an hour. And the guy's going to take an hour to catch up with you to figure out where you're going at least, and you just keep going for 24 hours. You keep driving. That's my solution.
What about like a helicopter?
That run. You got to land. And not only do you have to land, but you have to call in where you're gonna land. Okay. And then they know where you are. So driving, you're all on your own. Yeah, it's probably got, if you pick a new car, it's probably got a tracker in it. But if you pick an oldie, you know, you could roll for days.
So you're picking up an old car right away and just cruising.
Cruising.
I like that.
And an oldie like a 65 Mustang. Like I'm spending every dollar I have and then picking up some guys on Craigslist. You know, pay him cash, tell him to keep my name off of it, and I'm going. That's me. I think I'm picking up the billy.
Yeah.
Boys, I got the answer right here. I got it.
Yeah.
We got an hour to separate from this dude. First thing I'm going to do, I'm going to go to Walmart. I'm going to blatantly steal a TV, and I'm going to sit in a jail cell for 24 hours.
Wow.
Protected by the law. No one's paying my bail. Until after the 24 hours, I get my bail, pay it back, pay the fines, but I'm sitting at 24 hours in a jail cell.
All right. Point counterpoint on that. Point counterpoint.
All right.
I think that's a great idea. However, he did specify greatest assassin in the world. You think he doesn't have a guy in the jail? You think he can't pay off a guard?
He just made it super easy on him.
Done. You're trapped. You're done.
We're talking about a John Wick type character.
Yeah, yeah. You're done. Done.
Yeah.
What if I commit a federal crime and go to federal prison?
This is John Wick has no limits to the connections that he has.
What if I go to the white? I'm thinking, all right, cool. I'm gonna use all my money is. I can spend it. It's right. I'm either going to die or I've got a billy coming in. If I go to the White House and I go, I need to stay here and I'll give you $10 million and I need you to protect me here.
You're talking to the government. You think they don't have 10 milli?
I'm just saying something along those lines. Like I would go to someone with a ton of money.
You're going to knock on the door of the White House. They're going to shoot you by the time you step on the step.
My idea is that exactly. I've got an hour to convince them to like, hey, I'll give you. All right.
I hear your idea of using your prize and potentially approaching, you know, some billionaire or some huge house and being like, hey, I'll give you, you know, 500, 400 million. If you let me stay in your bomb shelter that I know you have for 24 hours.
I also feel like they'd be like, show me the money first.
True.
I don't feel like they'd just let anybody in.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Good point.
How about this? In the hour you have, why don't you try to befriend the assassin and split the money?
Love wins. Love wins.
Mm. Not a bad one. That is not a bad one. That's a risky business, though.
It's a risk. You better be pretty convincing, but yeah. It could pay off.
You're a smooth talker. It could pay off.
Great question, Max. Well, fuck
yeah, really great.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. Wait, no.
But you haven't even given your answer.
Oh, so I have a few I've contemplated with this one. Many hours in the outfield. I would probably, right off the bat, if I was near the water, I think I'm going to get a scuba suit, steal a boat, and then I'm just dropping.
Right.
Mm. I'm dropping. The issue with that, I think, is air, and I don't know a lot about scuba diving, so those are my run-ins. Either that, or I would just dig a ginormous hole in the sand and put a straw. Just suck out the straw.
Yeah, that's good.
See if I can hide, you know.
That's good. And also, I think that do you think that you could pay enough money where you have enough tanks with you underwater to go 24 hours, even in shallow water, but you're getting dropped somewhere that you don't know, and then you blow the boat up or whatever. But you think you got enough? Can you do that?
I mean, I wouldn't see why not. I feel like you could get enough tanks.
Yeah.
Because I know I watched a podcast on this one guy who stayed underwater, I think, for 30 days. So it's possible.
Yeah, you can do it.
That would be sick. My first hiding spot I thought of was like a water tower. Like if you were able to somehow finagle your way into a water tower, not on the outside, inside. Mm. Huh?
What is a water tower?
Like, you know, you don't have like a water tower in your town?
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Do you guys remember that movie? Yeah, you guys remember that movie Aquamarine? That's where they hit her and she's a whole mermaid.
No, that's fair. There may be mermaids in there. Maybe that's where they are.
Dude, that's where my head went.
Who do you think? Water.
That's a good point.
Or not fertilize the water, but filter the water. Sorry. Everybody knows the merman fertilizes the water. Everybody knows that.
All right, everybody knows that. We all had biology, man. That's good. That was a good question. I like that. I like your answer too. Dropping off.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it would work, but you know, it's worth a shot. Right. It's worth a shot. If the opportunity ever arises, you know, I'm prepared. So
I think if we put all of our four minds together and it was a Billy split between us and he had to catch all of us, we're keeping that. We're keeping that. For sure.
I think our idea then is the move.
Right.
All separate directions. I feel like that would be the key.
No brainer.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
I like it.
Good stuff, boys. Good stuff.
That's a hell of a question to end on. I think we're going to have to hit up Max for our next master debate. Maybe all of them. That was good.
Yeah, I like that. It's good. Dude, what if we had our next podcast and like clipped in Max with our master debate and something he just thought of at the plate.
We'll do it weekly. I'll just like hit him up. I'll call him. We'll FaceTime him.
I was in a 3-2 count bottom of the ninth. And I just had this thought, man, what do you guys think? Yeah. We went in a fight, like grizzly bear.
I love that.
Grizzly bear and gorilla, man. It's not even close. Grizzly bear's whooping it.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Yes. It's 1,200 pounds or 400. I mean, bite force. I mean, it goes on and on.
Dude, that one.
Getting the ability of thumbs, I think. Gorilla can.
Thumbs going to do when you got a bear around your neck. Like, nah.
Yeah. Have you watched? See, I've actually gone pretty in depth about this. I've watched videos of them fighting, like gorilla versus gorilla and bear versus bear. The bear is much more vicious than the gorilla.
That's fair. I might not be as educated in the subject, so I'll defer to your judgment on that.
Dude, we're gonna start calling it this. We're gonna, yeah, the Master Max question of the week.
I love it.
I'm all in.
We'll just clip them in like Jeopardy does. That'll be sick.
Yes. Yeah.
That would be dope.
Yeah.
Dude, on that, man, I think we call it, boys. Well done.
Thank you so much, guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us.
That was fun, man.
Jack, brother, that was awesome, man.
So awesome. Yo, well, when you guys are getting ready to head off for your regional game, man, we'll run it back. All right.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, brother. That'd be awesome. Send me the pen, man.
Oh, I'm not even kidding you. I'm gonna call you after this one.
I'll never need another pencil again.
Yeah. Perfect.
Oh, it's gonna be so sick. Change the world. Changing the world one double and broken pencil at a time. Max, thank you. Much love, brother.
Thank you guys so much. All right. See ya.
Cookout boys.